going to be in Psalm 20, the rest of us. Psalm 20. Turn in your Bibles if you would. Just remain seated. Sometimes it's troubling times. And when times are troubling, it's difficult to have, you know, a kind of peace that, you know, that God says you can have. And as a Christian, you think, well, I should have peace right now. So why am I such a mess? It's a troubling time. And troubling times have a way of making us afraid and concerned and then just overwhelmed with the kind of thoughts that go through our mind, the suffering that we've seen in others, the suffering that we forecast in our life, makes us afraid. Troubling times. They're right around the corner. Sometimes we're in the middle of them. We can expect them, though, can't we? And if we're not in them or coming out of them, it won't be long, unfortunately, because that's how life is. We'll be heading into them. So we're going to talk about troubling times, how to deal with a troubling at times, how to have assurance in the midst of troubling times. And God wants you to have that kind of assurance, a peace that, that is, well, like Paul said in Philippians, peace that passes understanding. People will look at you and say, how could you not be afraid? How could you have peace going through this? You know, it's just, there's no understanding that can point to what God can give you. And I think that you'll see that here. We're going to be talking about assurance in troubling times. Look at verse 1. We'll read the whole Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. I love that phrase in the middle of verse 5. Look at it with me. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. In the name of our God. Verse 6. Now, by the way, the ones who had just been talking in verse 1 through 5 are the congregation of Israel. So this is maybe a voice that represents the nation. What are they doing? They're praying for their king, David. Now verse 6 is David talking. David says, Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Say, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. That's good. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we don't need that, do we? We have God, and we know his name. And that means we know his character. And when you know God and when you know his name, God will give you peace. So I'm looking forward to what God has for us this morning. Let's pray and we'll get into this. Father, we need you. We do face troubling times, and I think sometimes times are more troubling as it relates to us in a broader sense as Christians than we even know. The coming days and months and years and some of the trials that potentially will be there. And then just as we surrender to you, the persecution as Americans, Lord, I think that we fail to understand the nature of what persecution is and can be, because we face such a minimal side of it, although we do face it. I pray that you'd help our eyes to be opened a little today, but then also along with that, I pray that you'd give us a kind of confidence, assurance, when we do face troubling times, that our faith would be in you, our stand would be upright, and that we wouldn't falter or faint. We thank you for your grace, your word, your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we face troubling times, there's an assurance that God wants us to have that I think sometimes we don't often have, and we can maybe relate to this individual who talked to a pastor, an elderly man who talked to a pastor, and he said these words. He said, "I will not go on unless I know I'm saved." He says, "Or else it's a hopeless to seek to be sure of it. I want a definite witness, something that can't be mistaken about." So in other words, he was concerned about his salvation, and he wanted something from the pastor. "You tell me what I can rest on and not wonder or worry about my salvation anymore." Assurance, he wanted that. The pastor replied and said, "Suppose that you had a vision and an angel told you that your sins were forgiven. Would that be enough for you to rest?" And then the elderly gentleman thought for a moment, and he said, "Yeah, I suppose that would be enough. If an angel gave me a vision, told me I was saved, that would give me assurance enough so that I could rest." Then the pastor continued, and he said, "But suppose that on your deathbed, the same angel visited you again and told you that he was the devil. The first time he visited you, he was disguised, and he told you that you were saved, but you're not. How would you respond to that?" The man was speechless. No words to respond to the pastor after a striking illustration. Then the pastor said that God has given him something far more dependable than the voice of an angel. He said, "God has given you his own son who died to take your place on Calvary and to pay for your sins, and he gave you his word. And if you trust in him, then your sins are gone." And then he read 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Can I say that again? "These things have I written unto you," 1 John 5:13, John says this, "that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So you don't have to wonder if you're saved. You can know. And it's not enough. If that right there, if his word and his promise in Jesus isn't enough to rest on, then a letter written specifically to you in your name from heaven won't be enough for you. God's Spirit has used his word to bring assurance to our hearts. And so we can have assurance. We can have assurance of our salvation. But here's what God wants us to understand about troubling times. We can have assurance in troubling times when we're going through hard things with our family, when we're going through hard things with our finances, when we're going through hard things with our children or in our marriage or at our job. We're facing troubling times. You know, we're having a conflict between us and what God is teaching us and how He's trying to help us to understand His Word and what's really real and what's really true. And then what the world says and how it fights against what God is saying and that conflict. That's a troubling time that we face in life. And so God says that he can give you a kind of peace, a kind of confidence and assurance in those troubling times. But how about this? Facing troubling times in our nation, in our country, we're there. In our world, we're there. Congregation of Israel was facing troubling times, and they prayed for David. I love that. They prayed for their king because, note this, they're heading into battle. They're about to go into a war. Like hand-to-hand combat, there will be life and death on the line here. And they needed God, and they had a kind of peace. Why? Because they knew the name of God and what that represented to them in their existence. The name of God. Amazing. Look at verse 1 again. Now, I want to point out, I'm going to emphasize a few words as we go through this, okay? So follow along. Verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. So we know that there we're talking about a troubling time. And the reason why it's troubling is because they're about to go into conflict. Partially we know that's true, not just because of the nature of this psalm from start to finish, but also when you see that reference that the world trusts in chariots and horses. And so the implication there is we're going into battle because these are tools used in battle. Chariots, horses, these are for conflict, for war. So they're heading into war. And the trouble is we're going into hand-to-hand combat. We don't know what's going to happen on the other side of this or in the midst of it. And we're perhaps a little bit afraid about this. And that's the troubling time. The name, they said, the name of the God of Jacob defend us. The name of the God of Jacob. I almost feel like, and I think you would agree, to really get a grip or an understanding of what David in this psalm is communicating, we need to know the name of God. The name of God represents his character. It represents his nature. The name of God is who God is, but it's not just a reference so that we can know what to call him. It's so that we can know about him. It's so that we can know who he is. His name tells us about his character, that his characteristics that cannot change, by the way. He's our Savior. What's that mean? He saves. He's our King. What's that mean? He rules. He's Jehovah. It's a covenant name of God. It means that he keeps his promises. He's Elohim. What is Elohim? It's the first use of God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. God is the creator. He's Elohim. He's majestic and mighty and powerful and strong, and nothing will make him other than what he is and who he is. So they knew his name. We could touch on a few, as we just did, and we could go through the list of names of God, but this is his character. And it meant something to them. By the way, just note this as we go through this, and we're going to go through troubling times, but understand something. You need to know the name of God. We need to understand the name of God, but we need to also know this. We need to know how the name of God applies to us. How God's name works in my life. How can I claim the promises of who God is in my troubling times? We need to know that. Israel knew that. We need to know that. Because they knew that they could rest on God for their defense in these times. Verse 2, send thee help, the last part of verse 2, and strengthen thee. So the Israel is praying for David. They're asking for God's defense, for God's help, for God's strength. If you're going to have defense, help, and strength in your troubling times, you're going to need it from God. You're not going to get it from yourself. You're not going to pull up by your bootstraps and just tread through it. You've done it maybe in the past, but listen, these aren't the ways to tread through troubling times with peace, with assurance and confidence, absent fear, which is what God wants us to have. These kind of characteristics come from God. That's who he is. He'll get you through these times. Verse 4, grant thee. So the promise God, they're asking God to work and answer David's prayers. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation. So there's confidence there in the name of our God. Salvation comes from God. from the name of God. They're resting in that. They're rejoicing in that. One writer, one commentator on this particular psalm called this psalm a royal psalm written by King just before they go into war. The day of trouble would have been the impending battle. And so on the way, perhaps they're marching into the battle, they stop at the sanctuary, the dwelling place of God, to get God's attention, to seek God, to go to Him before they head into this war. That's pretty wise, wouldn't you say? Joined with the congregation in prayer, asking God for victory, asking God for His special touch and blessing through this. They desired this victory, understood that it would only come from God, and they anticipated it. They anticipated that God would give them a joy and triumph. How could they do that? Because they knew the name of God. Keep your finger here, but go to Numbers chapter 6 with me, please. Numbers chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Chapter 6. Verse 27 is the one we're going to read. Let's back up to verse 22. We'll take a running start. Our verse is 27, but Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. You're there, say amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Where does all this come from? Verse 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Israel knew that. And they came, they're going into battle. They'd already been given God's name. God's name was already placed upon them in the covenant. God proposed to Israel back in Exodus. God says, will you be my people? God says, will you come into relationship with me? Can I say it like this? Will you marry me? And Israel says, I do. I will gladly, happily come into relationship with you. Remember when Jesus touched your heart? Remember when you were sitting in church and God says, you need to be saved? Remember when that happened, Brother Drew? Whenever He touched you the first time? And then you fought against Him a couple times, probably. And then on Monday this week, He said, today's the day. What was that? That was the day you said, I will. I do. Because He's proposed. He says, will you come into relationship? And it's not special for Him versus for you or me. If we're saved, it's the same. Miss Lisa, remember, it was conviction a long time ago. Conviction, conviction, conviction. Proposed, proposal, proposal. And then the day came, you said, I will. And it's no turning back, is it? You go into relationship with God, but the moment you said, I will, the moment you said, I do, the moment you turned and gave your heart to Christ, the Bible says that He put His name on you. Gave you His name. That means you possess it as a rich inheritance of the promise of Christ. It's in you. The Bible says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. What's that mean? It's His name. It means everything that He is in you. Every promise that's applied to Israel and is applied to Christians all through the New Testament is applied to you in Jesus. When you turned your heart to Him, His name was given to you because you said, I will. Israel knew the name of God was in them and on them, so they were going into a conflict knowing this. We can have peace. We can have a joy that makes no sense to people around me. I'm going into a troubling time, but I can go into it with peace. How can I do that? Because God's name is on me. God's name is in me. Does it guarantee, now I'm getting ahead of myself, but does that guarantee a kind of victory that you expected? No. But it does guarantee a peace that only God can give you through even the defeats that we sense that we experience. Right through the middle of those troubling times on the other side of it, God's with you. He's applied His name to you. Israel knew that. Israel understood that. And so when they came to God and they prayed and they said, God, we're going into this battle, we're not sure of the outcome. Perhaps there's a little bit of fear there. But God, as we're remembering Your name and we're remembering the covenant and the promise, we're remembering who You are and that You cannot change, we're going to go into this with a bit more confidence than we had before we came into the sanctuary, before we were reminded of who we are in You. Look at verse number 9. This is Israel again speaking. Verse 6 through 8 is David in his sort of prayer and response and confidence. This is again coming back to the nation of Israel, who say in verse 9, "Save, Lord. Let the king." Do you know who the king is referring to there? It's not David. Note, the context says, save who? Lord. Salvation comes from God, not from a man. Salvation comes from the Lord, not from our techniques and tactics and strategies and plans and, you know, all of our little, you know, things that we try to do to ensure a kind of safety and victory in our troubling times. The Lord, Israel knew, David knew. The Lord, save Lord. And then let the king means God. Let the king, God, hear us when we call. Was that not reveal the tenseness, though? If you think about, if you just sense the feeling here, even as I'm preaching, can't you feel that there's kind of a tenseness? You know, one thing as a pastor, I really try to do this whenever I preach. It's not always easy, and I'm not always very good at it, but I try. And that is to have the sort of spirit that the passage has when I preach it. You know, I don't want to get up here and tell you a bunch of jokes whenever I'm doing a message about troubling times. So I want to have the kind of attitude that the passage has so that we can feel it while we're learning about it. So I'm saying that to say, I hope that you sense here that they're coming into this troubling time and they know this is life or death for some of us. Now, I would say there's some soldiers in here, those that served in our military, and I'm proud and I'm thankful for you. And perhaps some understands what it would be like, the feeling that you would feel right before you go into battle and the potential of the loss of your life. And you know what? There could be a kind of tenseness, but fear as well too. And that's what we're feeling here. That's the experience. That's what we're referring to. Troubling times, listen, church, it can make us tense and afraid. I mean, my children aren't doing well, you might say, now or one day. Their attitude's bad. Their friends aren't good. They don't listen to authority. They don't listen to me. They don't listen to other authorities in their life. They're just kind of in their own path doing whatever they want to do. And I feel like, and this is a troubling time for you if you're a parent and you're saying the or thinking or feeling these things, because you're thinking this, you're thinking, my voice isn't loud enough. I need to have more influence. I need to have more pull or authority in their life. But I feel it's slipping away. And here's what you're afraid of. You're afraid that you're going to lose your kids. You're afraid that they're going to slide away into an evil kind of existence and deny God and go down a path that, you know, that you can see where it's going to take them, but they're not seeing where it's going to take them. And sometimes we can see where it's going to take them because we've been there. And we know because we experienced it ourselves. And we say things like this: I don't want this for you. I know where this is going to take you because it took me there. And it could be that it's going to take you even further and down a worse path. And these are troubling times. And if our kids don't turn to God, then they'll eventually end up in hell. And that is even more of an intense burden and fear. You know, if you're a parent who loves God at all and you love your kids and you're a believer, and your kids aren't saved, it's troubling times. From time to time, especially when it's on your mind and you think about where they're headed. Marriage isn't good. We argue. We're sarcastic with each other. We say mean things to each other. There's most of the time it feels like we don't want to be around each other, and I'm afraid my spouse doesn't love me anymore. They don't want to be around me. I'm afraid they're going to leave me. Or how about this one? Frankly, I'm afraid that I might leave them. Afraid that it's just not going to be a kind of loving marriage anymore. And that fear shows that what we're in the middle of in our marriage is troubling times. Other troubling times, our health, our job, our finances, our country, our Christianity, our world. I'm going to read to you an article. It's kind of a long article, so I want you to embrace this as I read. I think sometimes we can go to sleep. The content of this is so intense, I don't think you're going to go to sleep. But I do want you to hang on to the words as I read this, okay? This article came from the Daily Wire, put out a story on August 19th, so this was just a few days ago. Probably still on there if you want to read it. I'm reading it to you, but you can validate it. The title of the headline is this: The Taliban are going door to door seeking Christians and searching through phones for Bible apps. That's the title. Let me read this article. Afghan Christians are reportedly fleeing to the mountains in a desperate attempt to escape the Taliban, who are going door to door and trying to kill them. This report came out a couple days ago, by the way. If you're blind to what's happening in the world. An underground church has partnered with Frontier Alliance International, FAI, has reported that the Taliban are targeting Christians for death. According to the FAI, the Taliban has hit list of known Christians they're targeting to pursue and kill. These are the ones they know about. The U.S. embassy is defunct. There is no longer a safe place for any believer to take refuge in Afghanistan right now. All borders of the neighboring countries are closed, and all flights to and from have been halted, with the exception of private planes, if you're lucky enough to know somebody who's brave enough to try to get out of the country with a private plane. People are fleeing into the mountains. They're looking for asylum in the mountains. They're fully reliant on God, who is the only one who can and will protect them at this time. The Taliban are going door to door. They're taking women and children. The people must mark their house with an X if they have a girl over 12 years old, so the Taliban can take them. If they find a young girl in a house that was not marked, they will execute the entire family immediately. If a married woman is 25 years or older has been found, the Taliban promptly kill her husband, do whatever they want to her, and then sell her as a sex slave. Husbands and fathers have given their wives and daughters guns and have told them that when the Taliban come to their house, they can choose to kill them or to kill themselves. It's their choice. Taliban are also reportedly rifling through people's phones to look for any app that would give them away as a Christian. While hearing from a reliable source that the Taliban demand people's phones, if they find a downloaded Bible app on your device, they will kill you immediately, said Dr. Rex Rogers, who is president of the Christian nonprofit organization SAT7 North America, according to Religion News Service. It's incredibly dangerous right now for Afghans to have anything Christian on their phones. The Taliban have spies and informants everywhere. Because it's so dangerous to seek the company of other Christians, many Afghan believers are totally alone with not even one other Christian to whom they can talk, Rogers said. Our local director told me this. I'm continuing the quote from Mr. Rogers here. Most dare not attend a church service. They're alone, fearful, and looking to us, we're their last resort, he said. According to a video released by the FAI, a member of the underground church in Afghanistan wept as he described the situation unfolding as the Taliban quickly resumed their reins of power. We are unable to control our emotions because we've worked so hard for 20 years, the man said, whose grief was apparent despite the blurred face and the disguised voice in the video. All of our work over the past 20 years has been lost overnight. Only God understands how much pain we have and how broken our hearts are. Note this, we're not crying out of fear, but because our hearts ache for our beautiful country. It has now been destroyed and by this savage and extremist group. Claiming the whole world has abandoned us, the man went on to assert, we are not leaving the field. We will fight harder and will continue in work in God's work. I'm sorry I cried, he says. I became emotional. My heart hurts. Evangelical pastors, grassroots leaders, and faith-based refugee resettlement organizations in the United States have exoriated the Biden administration for the humanitarian crisis left in the wake of its botched exit from Afghanistan, according to the Christian Post. There is no question this whole withdrawal has been grossly mishandled, and for a rare moment in time, people on both sides of the political aisle are in agreement on this. Pastor Greg Lowry of the Harvest Christian Fellowship said in a statement, I would ask that we all especially remember to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Afghanistan right now. And we say, amen. A relief organization working in the region is warning of an increase in attacks on Christians across Afghanistan. They said, anyone identifying as a Christian could be killed for their faith, and that they risk betrayal or falling victim to an honor killing by their own family members. What's that mean? It means that dad's killing his whole family so that they don't get captured and abused. It's awful. This is horrible. It's terrifying, isn't it? It's terrifying. My heart hurts for those in Afghanistan right now, Christians. Troubling times. We think our times are bad, right? These are troubling times. Troubling times can lead us to be overwhelmed, fearful, and terrified in our hearts. But let me direct your attention to what the missionary said. Can I say it again? I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but I want you to listen to what he said in his quote, this missionary. He said this, we are not crying out of fear, but because our hearts ache for our beautiful country. He said, we're not crying out of fear. How could you not cry out of fear? Did you hear what I just read? How can he say that? How can you not cry out of fear? The same could be said of David not crying out of fear in his troubling time, in our text. And just the same that you and I, we don't have to cry out of fear as it relates to our children, our marriage, our health, our job, our finances, our country, and this world. Burdened, concerned, hurt, yes, fearful, overwhelmed by a sort of anxiety, being afraid, paralyzed. No. David knew that they would be victorious in the end. How did he know that? Verse 6. Look what it says. We're back in Psalm 20. If you are in Numbers, go back to Psalm 20. Verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. That's quite a confidence, isn't it? He said, now know I. Sounds like what we read in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So God says you can know some things, no matter the troubling time you're going through, no matter what you're going through in life, broad or even specific to your own internal troubles that you're feeling, that anxiety and that sort of overwhelmed fear of depression and despair that overcomes us at times. We can know that he saves us. We can know this. He goes on. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen. He says they are brought down and fallen. We are risen. Stand up. Expressed his assurance. He trusted in God. He knew that there would be victory in the end. The war is already won. The devil is defeated. Hebrews chapter 2, I think, says that the devil has already been defeated. The devil was destroyed on the cross, and the power of death was destroyed because Jesus rose from the dead, meaning that he conquered death. He was dead, and now he's alive, meaning that you and I are dead spiritually, but in Christ we can be alive, we can be conquerors, we can be free in our spirit, in our heart, through the peace that only God can give us in troubling times. They're brought down and fallen. They are brought down and fallen. Did you see that verse number 8? They are brought down and fallen. They haven't even went into battle yet. They haven't even went into war. Here's what David is saying. They are brought down. They're already defeated because we have God. We have God's name resting in us and on us. We're already victors. He contrasted his trust with God, in God, and the trust in the military equipment and the horses, which unfortunately, friends, what we often do when we go through troubling times is we turn away from our greatest resource that's in us, the name of God, and we turn to other resources to try to get us the kind of peace that we don't have, and they cannot give us victory. These tactics cannot give us peace. We turn away from the only one who can. And David says, I know the reputation of God. I know the name of God in his nature. I know who God is. And I know that there's no force in this world that can match the name of my God. There's no force in this world that has been proven powerful enough to fight and win a victory against God. He might win against me. I might feel the acuteness of a suffering moment in life and the trouble that touches me and causes me anguish and sorrow from time to time. But the victory, the war has been won because in God's name, we know who He is. He is the Savior. He's the King. He's the conquering King. He's the King of Kings. He's already won. You'll prove victorious because you have already become in Christ a victor. He put his name on you. There's no force in this world that can match God's proven power. But you have to know that. You have to know that. You have to know God's reputation. You have to know his name. You might suffer. You might go through trials. But you have to know who God is. And when you know who he is, then you know that there's victory already assured. So what do you need to do this morning? What do you need to do? Well, can I say this? You better start learning. You need to learn God's name. You need to learn who He is. You need to learn what applies to you from the promises of who God is, who you are in Christ. You're a victor. And so you can face day by day the troubles and trials that are around us. It's never going to go away, right? I mean, it's always going to be there because that's life. Life all by itself is suffering. We suffer in life. We suffer until the day we die. There's times of moments of joy and kind of comfort that comes through just the blessings of life, which, by the way, it rains on the just and on the unjust. And whether you're lost or saved, you have good days, you have bad days. In that sense. But life is filled with suffering and trouble, troubling times, whether you're saved or lost. So it's not like God's going to remove those things, but as you take step by step and you go from one battle to another battle, one trouble to another trouble, even those that are suffering and paying for it with their lives on the other side of the world, even today, can say that we're not afraid. And you can have that. And this morning you might say, I don't think that I would have that kind of peace. I don't think that I have that kind of strength if we were going through that in America. Aren't you glad you're an American? I am. I don't think that I'd have that kind of peace. And you're probably in a good place then. Because if you went into that kind of a troubling time thinking you were going to be strong, you probably wouldn't. But if you're going into it like all of the warriors going into battle and David himself, understanding that I'm a little bit afraid, and you know what I need? I need to remember who I am in God, because I don't have the strength in myself. I need to get to the sanctuary. I need to get on my knees. I need to talk to God in my troubling time so that He, and I need to hear the sermons, you know, because I need to remember who I am in God. I need to remember who I am in salvation in Jesus and what His name means in my life, in my heart, and what's applied to me so that when I face these troubling times, there's a peace there. But it didn't come from me. It didn't come from chariots. It didn't come from horses. It didn't come from anything from this world. It came from the name of God, the character of God that's applied to you in Jesus. And that will give you a peace when you go through your troubling time. Who are you? You are who you are in Christ. And that's all that matters. And you take the next step and you go through the next trial, whether it's your health, whether it's the boss at work who's not being such a nice guy, or whether it's the conflict that you feel between, you know, coworkers, or whether it's the issues you're having in your marriage, or the fear that you have for your kids, that we would stop relying on chariots and horses to deal with these troubling times, and even the nation itself and the feelings that we have about the direction it feels like we're going as a country, that we would stop trying to fight these battles in our own way, but that we would get back to remembering who we are in the name of God, and that rest, that God can help us rest assured in those troubling times, no matter what they are, that in Him the victory is assured, because He's already won. And then He'll give you a peace. There'll be a peace there in a troubling time that can only come from God. And I'm telling you, I'm glad for it this morning. I'm glad for it. We're just not going to get it if we don't pray, though. We're not going to get it if we don't remember. We're not going to get it if we just know this information. It's not good enough just to know this, family. You got to apply it. You got to get to your knees and you got to say, God, listen, victory is assured, and I get that, but I don't have a lot of peace right now. I have a lot of fear. I have a lot of concern and worry about a host of different issues in my life. These are troubling times. God, would you do something that only you can do? Would you help me to remember who you are? And that happens on the knees. You're not going to get assurance except from God. Can I say that verse one more time and then we'll be done? 1 John 5:13. Such a great parallel in some ways to what we're talking about. These things have I written unto you, John said, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know. Right in the middle of the troubling time, God will give you assurance, and that's how He gives it to you. You'll find it on your knees. God, remind me of who I am in you, so that I might rest with confidence no matter the trouble that we're facing. Father, this morning, what a sobering kind of lesson in the sense of the article that we read, and then also the trouble that we feel and the fear that overwhelms us as we have just so many things that cause us to be afraid, fearful. And then, Lord, the times when we have these kinds of concerns but we don't go to our knees and remember who you are. We can't see these fears going away. They won't leave us because we won't go to our knees and remember who you are and who we are in you. God, would you help us to have faith enough to turn our hearts back to you, to rest in you? God, would you give a peace no matter the struggle that we face? And we do pray for those, our brothers and sisters in Christ on the other sides of the world, missionaries serving in foreign fields, that we as Americans, I think, often forget the privilege that we do have, the freedom of worshiping and serving. Lord, help us to pray faithfully for our missionaries, that they would stand for you, and help us to stand for you, even in the midst of our troubling times, which are significant at times. Help us to stand with you, remembering who you are and who you are in us. Thank you for grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the promise of your name. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, let me encourage you to just stay in there. Assurance in Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.